Let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking tonight about the state of the church, and I don't want this to be like, what are we doing wrong? I want us to look at it from a biblical perspective. I want us to say, what should we be doing? What should we continue to do that we're doing? And I want us to be encouraged by what we see tonight in the state of the church and in this passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you that it shows us how we should live. Thank you that it shows us who you are, but it also shows us who we are and how that we need to submit ourselves to you and to your plan, to your ways. Father, I pray that you encourage us from your word tonight. I pray that you would help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. Help me to be according to your word. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So every year our leaders get up and they give an address to their constituents about the state of the country, the state of the state, how it is at present, and then they give some goals going forward. We just spent the last over an hour discussing finances, discussing projects, discussing things in our church for the next year. I want to take it a little further than that tonight, and I want to look at how are we doing as a church. Are we fulfilling the purpose that God has for us? Are we glorifying God as the body of Christ, and are we growing and becoming more Christ-like? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. First Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ and how that we're all members of the body of, as believers, we're members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And so that verse tells us the church is made up of individual members, is made up of people. Every member has a place within the church, within the body of Christ. When a person trusts Christ as their Savior and they become a part of the body of Christ, they have a purpose within that body. They have a function. There is something they can do to contribute to the health of the body. And that's done through the local church. And it's important as people are saved and baptized, as they join the local church, that they find a place to serve. That they find something that they, an opportunity they have to contribute to the body, to help the body, and to serve God. So what does the active growing church look like? What can we point at and say that church is moving forward for Christ? As a pastor, I look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and I see where it says the pastor is to equip or perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And I think, how can I perfect the saints for the work of the ministry? How can I equip you to minister for the Lord? And that's always a question on my mind. What do I need to do to equip you, equip all of us, to do the work of the Lord? The meaning of the word perfect there in verse 12 has the idea of completely furnish. The illustration of a soldier comes to my mind. You picture a young man who's called up to go to battle. And so he reports for duty. He gets his paperwork all done. He gets his uniform. He gets his government-issued boots, and he's sent off to battle. How do you think he's going to do? Well, I think he's probably going to be tragically defeated. Why? Because he has not been properly equipped. What about basic training? What about being given a weapon and knowing how to use it? What about knowing about the enemy and knowing how to deal with the enemy's tactics? What about a battle plan? He needs to be perfected as a soldier. He needs to be complete as a soldier. Another illustration that comes to my mind, I think of building oftentimes. Suppose I were to build a house, put in the foundation, I build the walls, put up a roof, put in the windows and doors, and I side the house. Then I put in the plumbing, electrical, I insulate it, I hang the drywall, I paint it, I bring my wife and my family in, I say, well, here's our new house, how do you like it? Well, the structure is okay, but there's something missing. Unless we're planning to sit and eat and sleep on the floor, we need furniture. Okay? Got to have things in the house to furnish the house. A house has to be completely furnished. It has to be perfected. It has to be completely furnished and equipped in order to function effectively. So apply that to our spiritual lives. There are areas where each of us still needs to be perfected, and it'll be that way till we go to heaven. Areas where we can grow, areas where we can be perfected, and some of those things are that we need to grow in so that we can be complete in Christ. But as we read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it's interesting here as I was studying this, and I saw that one of the things you notice here is that there's a statement, and then in the next verse it describes or says, what does that look like? So I want to go through this passage here for a few minutes tonight and just look at some of those statements. The first one is found in verse 12. At the end of the verse it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the saints are to be perfected to do the work of the ministry. Why? So that the body of Christ is edified, okay? The word edify means to build up. How are believers edified or built up? And I want to just share some verses with you, and I've got them written down here for sake of time, so I'll read them to you. But how are believers edified or built up? First of all, through right speech. Believers are built up. Deuteronomy 6:6 through 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. We build up one another with God's word by sharing the things that God has said in his word, by sharing the works of God with others. Particularly in that passage, it's talking about our family. Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. In other words, talking about the works of God. We'll share them with our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. In Proverbs chapter 10, verses 31 and 32, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So we edify one another through right speech, through our right conversation. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so all that we say, yes, sometimes it's something we have to say that's hard to say, but the goal is to edify, to build up, to help others. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so believers are edified through right speech, not with flattering words, but with words that will encourage a person's character, encourage a person to grow spiritually. Another way that believers are edified is through peaceful relationships. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do the best that we can to live at peace with one another. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. That's our goal, that we have the right speech, we have peaceful relationships, and we always, if there's something that causes a division or some friction, we seek to deal with that so that we can have a peaceful relationship. Another way that believers are edified is through our care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And in Philippians 2:4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so here it's the idea of having the same mindset that Christ had. When he came to this earth, his mindset was found in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so we have that same mindset to care for one another. And then a fourth way that believers are edified is through biblical instruction. Psalm 119, 98 says, Though thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And so biblical instruction is a way that believers are edified. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or again, that completely furnished, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so those four things, right speech, peaceful relationships, care for one another, and biblical instruction are ways that we can build up one another, that we can encourage one another. But what does a body of believers that is being edified look like? Okay, verse 13 tells us that. Remember, we see the statement in verse 12. Verse 13 gives us a description. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the first thing we see here is unity of the faith. We're growing in unity. We're growing as one. We're growing together in Christ. John 17, 20 to 23 says, neither pray I for these alone. And this is Jesus' prayer to his Father. He says, neither pray I for these alone or those disciples immediately around him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We see in Acts chapter 2, the unity of the believers there in the first church. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were all unified there in that place that they were in. It wasn't that they were just had all kinds of dissension and division. They were there with one accord, with one purpose. They were unified as they were there. And in verse 46, we see the same thing. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness, with gladness and singleness of heart. And so we see a unity there among the believers. They were growing in unity. Another thing we see here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, is growing in spiritual knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then also 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we see here a spiritual knowledge, a growth in spiritual knowledge. The third thing we see here in verse 13 is growing in spiritual maturity. That is what it looks like when a body of believers is edified, that they're growing in spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, grow in your understanding of Scripture. Grow in your spiritual understanding. 2 Timothy 3:17, again, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And so we're to grow in our spiritual maturity so that we are becoming more complete in Christ, more completely furnished in God's word and in Christ's likeness. And that's a fourth one, growing in Christ's likeness. We all are familiar with Romans 8:28, but Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so the goal of our Christian life is that we grow in Christ's likeness, that we become more like Christ. So when when I respond to somebody, it's as if Christ is responding through me to that person. And so we're to respond as Christ would respond. We're to act and live and talk and think as Christ would respond, as he would think, have the mind of Christ. Another one is Ephesians 1:4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so those four things that help us to know, what does the body of believers that's edified look like? They're growing in unity and spiritual knowledge, in spiritual maturity, and in Christ-likeness. But we come to our second statement in verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Okay, how do we know if we're perfect? How do we know if we're growing spiritually? How do we know if we're maturing spiritually? What does that look like? Well, look at verses 14 and 15. And this answer to this one is twofold. We find the first answer in verse 14, the second part in verse 15. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so we see here a person that is spiritually growing or maturing spiritually is firmly anchored in truth. Okay? They're not vacillating on truth. In this scripture, Paul is describing someone who is not spiritually mature. He's saying somebody like that is a child in their understanding. And they're not growing in their understanding. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, as our children grow older, we expect them to mature in the things that they do. We expect them to mature in the way that they respond, in their decisions that they make. We expect to see some maturity there. And if they're not, we're concerned, and we have to pull them aside and say, hey, wait a minute. We can do the same with others if the Lord allows us that opportunity to say, hey, can I help with a blind spot or can I help with this? We need to be growing spiritually, and a person who is not is always moving. It's like a ship in troubled waters. It's just always moving around. Hebrews 5:12-14, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so someone who is not spiritually mature is like a child in their understanding. But it says in verse 13 that verse 14, they are also carried about and they're deceived. They're very easily swayed in their doctrine. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 says, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. And so Paul was concerned about the church at Corinth. He says, I don't want you to be easily swayed. I want you to be deceived into some other doctrine that isn't the truth, that isn't coming from God's word. And so he's warning them here, don't be easily carried about. Galatians 3:1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath deceived you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. And then Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So Paul is trying to help them focus on doctrine, focus on the truth. Don't get caught up with the law. Don't get caught up with the ceremonies and the right rituals and all that. He says, focus on doctrine, focus on the truth of God's word, and don't be easily swayed in your thinking. And so we see here, he says you need to be firmly anchored in the truth, and there's many new doctrines coming up today. It seems like every time you turn around, somebody's coming up with some new doctrine. Well, the Bible's teaching this, or the Bible's teaching that, and you go to the word of God, and it's not. We have to be careful. We must be firmly anchored to the truth so that we're not pulled back into the current of apostasy. There's a lot of apostasy out there. We have to be careful. And so a perfect man, or one who is spiritually mature, is one who's firmly anchored in truth. And secondly, in verse 15, we see that he's speaking the truth in love. So, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So another evidence of spiritual maturity is confidence to speak the truth in love. That doesn't mean that I only say things people want to hear, but it means I say things people need to hear, but I do it in a way that shows my desire for them to know and understand the truth so that they can grow in Christ. And so I present that in a way that I want to help. I want to help you to see the truth, and that's how I need to present it, showing that I care about them. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." 2 Timothy 2:25 says, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God will peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So one who is spiritually mature is one who can speak the truth in love and come alongside someone and share with them God's word and share principles with them to help them to see the truth and hopefully bring them back to the way they need to walk. And the third one I want to look at tonight is in verse 15. We just looked at that, but it says, "May grow up into him in all things." What does the body look like? What does the body of Christ look like when people are being built up and believers are growing spiritually? When we're growing up in him in all things. Verse 16 tells us that. It says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." What does the human body look like when it's functioning the way God designed it? And I thought of, as I was rereading this, restudying this analogy, I thought, wow, there's a lot of parallels here with the body of Christ. When the body, the physical body, is functioning as God designed it through, the brain is sending the proper messages through the body. The parts of the body that are receiving those messages as they need to. The heart is pumping blood and providing oxygen to the lungs. The cells are continually reproducing themselves and rejecting those things that will destroy the body. Each organ is fulfilling its function, and the body is healthy, physically fit, and it's growing. And according to verse 16, when believers are growing in Christ, when we are functioning as God designed us to function, the body of Christ is built up. Each believer is contributing his or her part to the body, and the body is growing. But it's growing spiritually, but it's also growing numerically. How do we see that? Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. "As the people saw the church meeting together, fellowship together, breaking of bread and in doctrine, and going through those things, as they saw their unity in Christ, as they saw the confidence in their faith, as they saw a love for others, what happened? And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved." It's God that brings the people in, but it's because God draws them, and we use our testimony as a help to that. We talked about that this morning, how that they'll know we are Christians. And so this year, we will have opportunities to grow in Christ. There's ministry opportunities throughout the year listed on the calendar. I would encourage you to be active in those opportunities, to grow in unity with one another, to grow in your knowledge of God's word. That's something we can do on our own. That's something we need to do when we're here. We need to be participating or be present at the services. Okay? Growing in spiritual maturity through application of God's word. We take what God shows us in his word and say, "God, how do I need to apply that to my life?" So we grow in our spiritual maturity. And then we grow in Christ's likeness as we apply those things to God's word. And we say, "Okay, God, I need to get that out of my life. God, I need to bring that into my life." And God refines us through his word. We grow in Christ's likeness. So as we consider the state of our church, I can't point a finger at someone and say, "Well, he's not doing his part. They're not doing what they're supposed to do." It brings me back to John chapter 21, verses 15 to 22. Jesus had reappeared to the disciples after his resurrection. He's on the lakefront, and he's appeared to his disciples. He's there with them, and he's talking to them. And in verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? What about John? Jesus has just quizzed Peter, says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, Lord, you know I love you. But what about John? What's he supposed to do? Why can't you grill him? What does Jesus say? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, don't worry about John. John, he'll have his instructions as well. Says, Peter, you follow me. Peter, you grow in Christ. Peter, you do what I ask you to do. Peter, you command me what I command you to do. Did Peter do that? He did. He was greatly used of God in the early church. Because Peter said, Okay, Lord, and he followed Christ. We have to take the mirror of God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to show us individually what we need to do to walk in obedience to Him. And you know what? You look at passages like Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, where the Apostle Paul, we hold up as such a godly man. He was such a great apostle. But look at what Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, because I'm not completely mature. I'm not completely furnished. I have still room to grow. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. I haven't reached it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I'm still working. I'm still looking for that. I'm still striving for that goal. And so as we look at the state of our church, what do we need to do? I need to look at the state of my own heart and allow God to show me areas in my own life that need refining, need sharpening, so that I can be effective in doing my part as this body of believers that we have here. And so that as I contribute to the body, as you contribute to the body, what happens? The body of Christ is built up. We're encouraged, we're challenged, we grow spiritually. And as people see us growing spiritually, they say, What's going on over there? And Christ can draw them in, and we can share the truth with them. And we can see God do a great work in and through us this year. And I trust that'll be your prayer as well. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that you have chosen to use us in your service. Father, we're not worthy, but we are able through Christ to do what you want us to do. And through the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to do your will. Father, as we go through this year, but Father, as we simply go through the day tomorrow, help us to start by just asking, Father, how do I apply your word to my heart today? Father, how do I take what I've learned today and use it in my life today? Father, help us to do that day to day. And see you teach us great things, see you do a great work in our lives so that we might contribute to the body of Christ, to building up one another, to growing spiritually, that you might be glorified through our lives, and that your work here might go forth and grow. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.